turn to 1 John chapter 5 again. Now I'm still on the subject of Christ being precious. That is from 1 Peter chapter 2, but I'm not going to read that. We've read through that, looked at it to some degree, almost verse for verse. Remember there, in Peter, Peter says that God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light that we might show forth his praises.
Yes.
That means his virtues. We are looking at two of those things as they pertain to Christ. He is one, gracious. We looked at that. And secondly, he is precious. And there are five things in which he either is manifest to be precious, or why he is precious, or how he is precious. And here are the five things. The first three we have looked at. First of all, it is he is precious because of God's estimation of him. The primary passage would be in Colossians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul says that God has made Christ preeminent in all things.
Amen.
And the why that makes him precious. Because God says he's preeminent. And why? And the next verse says, for it pleased the Father.
Amen.
That in him should all fullness dwell. And you see, that's good enough.
Yes, sir.
It is bow down, period. So we see a few ways in which he is precious or declared to be precious. First of all, God's estimation of him. And because of this, all of these other things then flow from that. Secondly, God is not honored apart from Christ. Joe mentioned it. You see, men cannot expect to gain God's favor simply by believing in God.
Exactly.
That doesn't work. That's not the way God ordained it. It is to believe in the Son whom God the Father sent.
Amen.
That's where it's at. And because of that is, God is not honored apart from Christ, I gave this third thing, that is, the spiritual life rests in Christ.
Amen.
And the passage I began with is 1 John chapter 5, mainly verse 12. And I want to kind of go back over this, not everything, but kind of hit the high spots. 1 John 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
Now let me point out something. It does not say in this verse, he that hath life hath the Son. Now, although I believe that's true.
Yes, sir.
I believe that's true.
Yeah.
But here, the question is not how life comes into being, but how is life laid hold of? That's the word, he that hath. Remember, the word hath is in the active voice.
Yes.
So it's not he that gets the Son.
Exactly.
You see, it's not he that is given the Son is given life. That's not what it's teaching here. That certainly would be true, would it not? But that's not what John is saying. He is saying that he that lays hold of, to possess, to come up near to, it would be the way the word could be translated. And it is in the active voice. So he that has the Son has life. He that hath the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Still, in the present active voice.
Yes, sir.
Now, rather than just going back, I don't want to go back over everything I said last Sunday before last. But let me say this. There are those who, when they read this, they say life does not exist. And this is spiritual life. You understand. I think everyone here, this is not talking about physical life. This is talking about spiritual life. There are those that say, until you lay hold of the Son, there is no spiritual life that exists. People teach that. You understand that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they use this verse here to teach that.
Yeah.
That is, until you lay hold of the Son, you are not given life. But is that what this says? No, it says, he that hath the Son hath life.
Sir.
He that is active voice, he that hath, he is laying hold of the Son. That person is what? Laying hold of life. A person who is what? Not laying hold of the Son. What? He is not laying hold of life. That would be another way of bringing the words about from the Greek to the English. But here's the point. This having the Son, how do you lay hold? How do you possess the Son? How is it that anyone lays hold of Christ? Anybody want to answer that?
Mm-hmm.
You ought to know that answer. By faith. By believing. That is the only way. You can't do it physically. You don't just do it mentally. You don't do it emotionally. A lot of people are doing it emotionally, right? It's not it is by faith. Because look at, let's go back now and look at a little bit more of the context, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, there's the same word, hath, and this is still in the active voice, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Therefore, he that hath the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Now the question is, the point is, this is not how life comes. This is how life is laid hold of. It's how it is possessed. It is how it is come into contact with. It is how you have a relationship with it. Why? Because John has already established that you cannot believe until you're first prior fathered of God. Right? The first part of this chapter, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ,
amen,
is born of God. The word here is for fathered. It has nothing to do with giving birth, begetting. It has to do with fathering. Same word Christ used when he said, except a man be born from above. That's the proper interpretation. They talk about being born again. You ain't born again. It's born from above. Peter uses the phrase born again. It's a different words. Our Lord said, unless a man is born from above, he cannot, what's the first thing? See. So which must come first? Do you see to be born? Or must you be born in order to see?
Amen.
You have to be born, and the word there is fathered. You see, I do not believe what is generally called the new birth. It's the birth from above. I don't believe it's the whole gamut of from quickening all the way to conversion. I believe the new birth is quickening, period.
Yeah.
To be fathered of God, because that's what it takes to both see and enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You could put it this way to make it correct in English. Except a man be born from above first, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yep. That's it.
Now let me tell you something. If you see, you have life.
Yes, sir.
If you're fathered of God, you have life. Yeah. And this in chapter 5, verse 1, is all in the what voice? You remember? The passive voice.
Amen.
Because you don't get God to father you. He simply fathers you.
Yeah. That's it. Exactly.
And he doesn't father people like we father, like males, father of people. We don't really choose which one we want. We get what we get.
Yeah.
And people say, well, but we can take now, you know, all, no, you still have to take what you got.
That's exactly it.
You know, I came to say, I'm going to create this sperm, Joe, so that it will fertilize this egg, which I'm going to create. We're stuck with what we got.
Exactly.
We may choose between the sperms and the eggs. We may even manipulate these things, but Mason, we still can only work with what we got, with what God Almighty creates.
Yes, sir.
And our fathering comes from God, and I'm here to say life exists before birth.
Amen.
That's why I use the illustration that some use, and they talk in this day that life is not viable. Well, at least it's not viable life. Life is life.
Amen.
And that's the point I was making. I'm not trying to harp on abortion or even against abortion per se, although I am against it.
Yeah.
Let me just, I'm against that. Life exists when a child is fathered.
Yes, sir.
Period. But that child will then what? Lay hold of life.
Yes, sir.
And the argument is, you know, abortion's okay until the fetus is viable. Well, when that child is born, even after a full-term pregnancy, it is still not viable on its own.
Exactly.
And even when God fathers us, we are not viable on our own.
Exactly.
Christ is still to be laid hold of. And how do we lay hold of him? By our will? No, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ has been, that's the actual reading of it, has been born of God. And everyone that loveth him that fathered, loveth him also that is fathered. You can put it that way. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not my interpretation. That is a translation of the received text.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. You don't love Christ and you don't love God's people, you've not been fathered of God.
Exactly. That's it.
Well, you're saying I'm not elect. No, I'm saying you're not fathered of God.
Exactly.
You might be elect, but God's going to have to, in time, father you. And when he fathers you, you will then believe the Son. You will what? Lay hold of him.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Life comes from God.
Yes.
Whether it's through a direct sovereign fiat of God the Spirit, or whether that life is then sustained through the Scriptures.
Yes,
you see, remember, I think you may have been, no, a preacher mentioned it. Wasn't you, Joe? But mentioned this morning where our Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what?
Life.
And let me tell you something. This Bible contains his words.
Yeah.
Yes, right? Sir. The words that he spoke, that means their life.
Yes, sir.
But do they, even with their life, do they give life to the dead?
No.
The life of the Scripture is just like food. It only can sustain life and provides life where life already exists.
Amen.
Exactly. Because we are truly dead in trespasses and sins, even to the Word.
That's right.
Even to God's Word.
Yes, sir.
You see, God is not giving us, or God, you know, God is not awakening our deadness. He is giving life. Do you understand what I'm saying now? We're born dead in trespasses and sins. Christ, in God, even in the person of Christ, or in the person of the Holy Spirit, doesn't bring that deadness to life. He gives us new life, eternal life, a life that we didn't have before, but a life that existed before.
Yes, sir.
And he gives it to us in time. And when God Almighty fathers you, you will lay hold of the Son. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
It is because of this. That is that spiritual life rests in Christ. But no one has any right to claim life until they can lay hold of the Son.
Exactly.
Isn't that what John has already established in his first book to us?
Mm-hmm.
Turn back and read it. I mean, you know the passage. You see, there are those who want to argue that life doesn't come until man lays hold of Christ.
Yeah.
No, the Scripture does not teach that. Life must precede laying hold of Christ.
Amen.
But laying hold of Christ is life.
Yes, sir.
We're not denying. There are some who say we deny that. We're not denying that. We're simply preaching what the Word says, that God must first father an individual before that individual will ever then lay hold of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But no one has the right to say, I have life, until they're able to lay hold of the Son.
Exactly.
Do you see that? Now look at what it says. John chapter 1. And for the sake of time, let me begin here. Verse 10, he was in the world, and we know this is talking about Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, now what is that receiving? Look at the last part of the verse, you'll see what the receiving is. Because it's then qualified. Even to them that believe on his name. Then go back though. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? The right. That's the thing. God don't give you an ability to become his son.
No.
Now, the word can be used for ability. Here it has not ability. It has to do with right.
Yeah.
You think you have the ability to be God's son?
No.
You know what I tell you? Prove it.
There you go.
Prove it.
There you go.
Come on. You say, I got to know you have the right to what? to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And here they translated it right, which get born?
No, sir.
Which are immediately born?
No.
Which were born?
Amen.
And the word that, guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? Yeah. Same word there. Fathered. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but fathered how? Born how? Of God.
Amen.
You must first be born of God before you can ever believe Jesus Christ. And believing Jesus Christ is laying hold of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Life exists before life can be laid hold of.
Amen.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to throw you too much of a curve, but here comes one, so get ready to handle it. If you miss it, you miss it. What I have just said doesn't sit well with some folk, but that's all right. Most of what God says doesn't sit well with us anyway. And I said us anyway, not just them.
Yeah.
Us anyway. I'm not up here declaring to you my opinion. I'm declaring to you what this book says.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to just point out a few little passages, but what did this writer mean when he wrote these words?
Yeah.
Period.
That's it.
Period. Let me ask you this. When a person is first given faith, I don't answer it out loud, unless you're ready to back it up. When God first gives a person faith, anyone or everyone, put them in the minute second, when God gives anyone, that includes everyone, faith, who the ones he gives faith to, are they immediately declared righteous in his sight? Answer that question.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? Most people think, as soon as I have faith, I'm declared righteous in God's sight. Do you know what? That ain't so.
No.
That ain't so. How do I know that? I'll give you the lesser illustration first, then we'll go to the greater illustration. That is the one that has more force, more testimony from the Word of God itself. Remember what it says about Rahab? Now, here we're talking about righteousness. Okay? That God does not declare me, he does not count me righteous when he immediately when he gives me faith. I am here to testify that the Word of God says God declares me righteous. He imputes righteousness to my account when I lay hold of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I do that by faith. But faith doesn't always immediately lay hold of Jesus Christ. And the point is, can that be proved? Does the Word of God teach this? This is not, talk about Walter's opinion. I turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I've got to take my time here, because what I'm saying is, just as life exists before life is laid hold of, I'm saying that righteousness exists before righteousness is then imputed. Mm-hmm. But righteousness must be imputed just as much as it had to exist. And just as much as life is given freely by God in a sovereign work of quickening, that person still and will lay hold of that life, Jesus Christ. Now let's look at this idea of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 11, and this is mainly just one verse, verse 27. Is that right? No, it ain't right. What did I have wrote down here? I wrote down the wrong verse, but I'll find it here. Hebrews chapter 11, and let me go down right there, verse 31. What did I write down? You see, preachers do make faults, don't they? Hebrews 11. I'm glad that one wasn't no more serious than that. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith. What does it mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean by faith? Is this talking about a faith that's of man? Is this talking about some kind of human faith? No, you look at the context, and this is a faith that one honors God.
Yes, sir.
It's the kind of faith that the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Exactly.
For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this faith, Joe, is a God-given faith.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's right.
So verse 31 again, by faith, And I got to point this out, because it dawned on me just a few years ago, the harlot Rahab. This is hundreds of years later, and God's still calling her a harlot.
Yep.
Even after she had faith.
Yep.
Would you like that? You wouldn't like that, would you? But you know what? That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Whatever you used to be, you still are.
Yeah, that's it.
Even if you don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because you did it. See, once you've done it, you are it. No question. Now, you have to be that to be able to do that. Right? Just like a dog don't meow, a dog barks. A dog barks because it's a dog. But you know what? A dog barks.
Yes, sir.
Which comes first, the bark or the dog? You know? Well, the dog comes first, but the bark's in the dog. The whole point is we don't sin and become sinners. We sin because we are sinners. But the fact that we are sinners, we will sin.
Yes, sir.
We do sin. And once you have actually overtly committed an act, that's what you are.
Yeah.
Because it's manifest. That's in the evidence books, David. That's why God still calls her a harlot. But at least she was a harlot that had faith.
That's right.
Now the scripture is not teaching. It is, let me say, it is not teaching that the harlot kept on being a harlot.
No.
She got married.
Yeah.
And had a child. And that child was in the lineage which finally brought forth who?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now she quit being a whore. Mm-hmm. But because she was a whore, she always was a whore. Do you understand the language there? By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that, what? Believe not when she had sent the spies out. Is that what it says?
No.
That was true, was it?
No.
By faith she did that when she lied about where they were. Is that what it says? No, James kind of mentions, you know, talks about that.
Yeah.
What does the writer of Hebrews say? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace.
Amen.
Here's the question. Where did that faith come from?
Exactly.
What person or what place did she go to hear preach the glories of God in Jericho?
Exactly.
Who?
Yeah.
The spies are called what?
Spies.
Why? Because they were incognito.
Yep.
They did not come into Jericho proclaiming the glory of God. They kept silent.
Yep.
They hid themselves as to who they really were. And she, by faith, what? Received them.
Amen.
Where did that come from? That came from God, didn't it?
That's it?
But does that mean God right there accounted her righteous? Doesn't say anything about that, does it? Read over this. Notice what it goes on to say. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. But now the faith was manifest by what? Subduing a kingdom. But does subduing a kingdom automatically count you righteous in God's sight? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now if this was the only thing that I could use to try to prove the point I'm trying to prove here, you could say Walter's making his own point. All right? But remember, there's another individual called Abram.
Yes, sir.
You remember Abram? Now turn to Genesis chapter 12. I'm saying that some things exist in the purpose and the power and the work of God. And they're there in reality before we ever can conduct ourselves or act or engage in the very thing that was given us, the reason it was given us for. As life is given first so I can lay hold of life.
Yes, sir.
You know, Christ said, a man eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him. And I got a message entitled, Dead Men Don't Eat and Drink.
That's right.
You see, we feast upon Christ as life, not to get life. Only the living feast upon Jesus Christ.
That's it.
And I'm here to say that only those that God has declared righteous in His sovereign purpose are ever imputed righteousness by faith, but only when they believe Christ, not just because they got faith. And there's a point to be made here. There's a point that this comes to our lives. Look at what it says. Genesis 12. Now the Lord God had said unto Abram. So you see that. This was something that happened when? In the past of when the writer is talking about right here. Now the Lord God had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. And you know the thing, right? Leave.
Yep.
Now how did he leave?
Yeah.
Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at what it says. Now let's go back there. And I should have saved that spot. But go back to Hebrews chapter 11 again. And let me find the verse. Alright, it is verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. So when God had said unto Abraham, get up and get out, God gave him the faith to obey that command. Isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
Am I adding into that Walter's opinion, or is that what this book is teaching by showing these two related truths together? Abraham had to have faith to get up and get out.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's what Hebrews 11 says.
Yes, sir.
Genesis 12 said God had said unto him, get up and get out. And because we know Hebrews, God gave him faith, he got up and got out. He did that. He went up, he got up and got out by faith. Is he declared righteous now? No. This happened, if you check it out, and I'm not going to take time to go through all of it. Start from chapter 12, go all the way through chapter 17, and read the account. It is not until chapter 15, almost thereabouts, 10 years later, when listen to what is said of Abraham. Chapter 15, he was 75 years old when God said, get up and get out. And when he was 75 years old, God gave him the faith to obey the command. By faith, he got up and got out. Is that what the Word teaches?
Yeah.
Okay, it's what the Word teaches. Now, chapter 15, after these things, what things? Chapter 12, 13, and 14. The events of 12, 13, and 14. Yeah. If you compare this, it is almost somewhere around 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because when Abraham was 90, that's 15 years later, is when Sarah said, we'll go into Hagar. So it had to at least be before that, but if you look at the account, it was somewhere around 10 years after he got up and got out of Ur of the Chaldees. Chapter 15 now, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And then look, and he brought him forth abroad, and said unto him, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be.
Amen.
Now what did that mean? Now, if you just depended upon me, I could give you my opinion, and I could run with it. But Paul, the apostle, tells us what that means,
yeah.
Does he not? That means God, right there, preached to Abraham the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, now he'd already told him, go back to 12 now. Now the Lord God had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And remember, he had faith for this to happen, right?
Yeah.
Hebrews 11 said, by faith he left. And look, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now that is called by Paul in Galatians chapter 2, the gospel.
Exactly.
But it does not speak of Christ yet.
Yeah.
Does it? Mm-hmm. It is not, and so shall thy... He had not heard about so shall thy seed be until 10 years later. When God actually then defined unto him the gospel, that this gospel, this good news, has to do with a singular seed. Remember, Paul says, he said, not unto seeds as of many, but as unto thy seed, one, which is Christ.
Amen.
So now God is directly preaching to Abraham the coming of the Messiah. David, it's in very germ form, granted, but that's what the book says. Go back and look at my references. I'm not making this up.
No.
Now, nowhere will you find God declare. Now, Abraham already had faith, or Abram already had faith, did he not?
Yep.
He had faith to get up and get out, but God hadn't yet counted him righteous.
Yep.
Why? Look, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord.
Yes.
And he counted it to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Now let me say again, spiritual life rests in Christ.
Amen.
You see that? Abraham was not even declared righteous, even though he had faith, until 10 years later when he heard the truth of the gospel, that it's in thy seed.
Amen.
And he believed about the seed,
yes,
singular, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Is that not what that says? So here we have a man, by Scripture's own testimony, that had faith 10 years before God counted to him as righteousness. Because it actually took a believing in the coming Messiah before he was appointed that righteousness. And that's why we have the fourth thing. Spiritual faith has Christ as its object always.
Amen.
Even back then. Now, we may not be given examples or illustrations of it in every case, but every Old Testament believer who believed by the gift of faith looked for the coming Messiah.
Yes, sir.
That is the gospel.
Yes.
And that's how the gospel is to be preached. Not just that there's good news, that God saves sinners, but that there is good news that God saves sinners in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that gospel was preached back then just like it's preached today, just not in its fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Just not in its fullness. You see, this thing of, here is a man of faith. Of faith. Not personally, not in his own power, not intrinsically, but he's a man of faith because God gave it to him. And he began obeying what God had told him to do. But there came a time when God said, all right, it's been long enough. It's time for him to hear about the Son.
Yeah.
And if God's already prior given you faith, when you hear about the Son, you will believe the Son.
Yes, sir.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Same thing happened. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He knew the Bible he had in his hands was God's Word, didn't he?
Yeah.
He knew this was, now he didn't understand it real well, but he knew this was God's Word. He was depending upon it, David, as God's Word. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Where did such a faith as that come from? It had to have come from God, but he still didn't know who Christ was. And he was even reading about Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, but couldn't comprehend it. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And he basically said, no, I need somebody to help me.
Exactly.
And Philip did. And it says he took that same passage and preached unto him Jesus. And he said, what hinders me?
That's right.
To be baptized. He evidently even mentioned baptism somewhere in there.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid to mention baptism. What does hinder me? And Philip basically said, nothing, if you believe with all your heart. Now you see, you've got people say, well, but a lot of people believe the Bible's the Word of God. Yeah, but that's not the point, you idiot.
Nope, that's not it.
I'm talking about this guy, not all them guys. I'm talking about that harlot, not all these harlots. I'm talking about that Abram, not all these other guys down there, the Chaldees. If what God has done for you was given to you by God, it will eventually bring you to Jesus Christ. I don't care if it takes 50 years to do it. That's God Almighty's business.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something. When he gives you faith, or he gives you life, it will eventually result in your laying hold of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And your being, that being counted as righteousness.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. I have not given you Walter Pendleton's opinion of the Bible. I have given to you what this Bible says. There are people that God has given faith, and they may be out there, and you and I can't even hardly detect it. But they're obeying God in the manner and in the way in which God has ordained for that faith to obey at that time. But it is given to eventually bring them to Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And somebody says, well, I believe it all happens at once. There's a danger in that.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I believe it all. You enter into the assembly, a dead alien sinner, and all of a sudden you hear the gospel and God gives you life and you believe. Nope, it don't happen that way.
That's right.
Our Lord said those that have the good word of God sown upon them. Mm-hmm. Remember, good word of God, not Arminianism.
That's right.
Not even free willism, but the good word of God. And it's sowed upon them, but they are not good ground. And what? Immediately they receive it with joy. Mm-hmm. But there ain't no what?
Root.
Mm-hmm. And what is a root? Life.
Exactly.
And it's what stretches down to grab up more life.
Yeah.
Right? The roots go into the ground. It don't have time for root. Yeah, it may spring up. But what happens? In a time of temptation, it falls away.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Let me tell you something. God establishes roots in His people. And the time that He's pleased to do it is His business.
Yeah.
Does that mean every person I come across, that they believe this is the Bible, this is God's word, and it's dependable, that means they got faith? No. Because you don't look at that to try to prove the faith. You look at where that's bringing them to. If it brings them to bow to the feet of the sovereign called Jesus of Nazareth, then I could say that they had before probably was of God.
Yeah,
but not until that happens.
Yeah, that's it.
Now apply that to yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much doctrine you believe. I don't care. I mean, I guarantee you the devil probably knows more doctrine than we do.
That's right.
Don't you figure? It's not a matter of doctrine. It's a matter of meeting up with Jesus Christ. It's a matter of having an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. And it's a matter that when you do, rather than turning from Him, but rather than that, rather than turning, being unwilling to bow, because God has already done something for you at some time in the past. That's the way God does it. Then you lay hold of that man. And you know what? You like Jacob, you lay hold of that man and wrestle with him and will not let him go till he blesses you.
Amen.
Now wait a minute, wasn't Jacob already blessed of God? Huh? See, you know what I'm saying. You see, if God saved you, you know what I'm saying because it's happened to you. God brought you to that final place. Maybe you heard it in an assembly like this. Maybe you heard it on TV. Maybe you heard it on a CD or maybe a cassette tape. I don't even, that's hard to remember those. But maybe you met up, maybe you heard it 10 years prior and then all of a sudden God brought it to your mind again.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Remember it is said of Lydia, even before God opened her heart that she attended to the things Paul spoke, she was a person who did what? What does it say about Lydia?
Yeah.
She worshipped God.
Amen.
It doesn't say Lydia said she worshipped God.
No.
It said Lydia worshipped God.
That's it.
Whose heart then the Lord opened that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. See, what I'm here to tell you is don't come to me and say, well, I went to a service one time and God got a hold of me and I gave in. And now I believe. Oh no, I'm telling you it's a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest with your soul. If that's your experience, you're on dangerous ground.
Yeah, that's it.
Because that, where the good seed is sown on that, what one of the soils, you know which one, it springs up quickly.
Yeah.
Now there's a danger there. God's word takes time to take root.
Yes, sir.
It takes root. Our Lord actually said it. You got to count the cost.
Yeah, exactly.
He said a man doesn't go to war and just jump into it haphazardly. Let me tell you,
you don't
just lay hold of Jesus Christ because you heard about Him in a 45-minute message.
Exactly.
Give me a break. Yeah. You're going to lay hold of the Lord of glory after hearing 45 minutes of a human being speak?
Yeah.
No, sir. God Almighty, through His Spirit and His Word, will begin laying down roots in you.
Yes, sir.
And then once the roots have gotten to where God wants them to be, you will then lay hold of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's got to be your experience, or you ain't been there yet.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. That's not being mean. That's trying to be honest with your soul. Father, I pray that these truths may be by you lodged deep within our hearts and our minds. Lord, not that we may make excuse, and not so that we can follow our way, but Father, that we may be bowed down to your word, through which and in which you have declared unto us life. And that word is life.
Yes.
That word is life. But Lord, we know just as food is life to us, thy word is, we know that that life is given to us directly by you. We bow to you in Christ. Amen.